Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, we're waiting for some calls, but I want to let everybody know how to reach us. 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we appreciate your support on our social media, Facebook and Twitter sites. You may follow us there and find it Veal.
Well, we're vegetarians.
Via our Blog Talk Radio homepage. Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic, I believe, is the homepage. Or Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Let's look and see exactly what it is. I should know this. But anyway, you may find them via our homepage, which shouldn't be too hard to find, on Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Well, we have no plan today, but... big news. Well, we don't. We haven't even discussed.
No, we do have a plan.
Well, you have a plan.
Well, we're twin souls, so we have a plan. Unless you have a different idea.
No, but I'm wondering what you're going to... I'm imagining what you're... I know what we're going to talk about. We're going to lead the show off with, yes, we are twin souls, so I know what you're going to say, and I know what I plan to say.
Well, I mean, our topic is not about Trump.
It's not about Trump getting COVID, but we're talking about it, which I knew. Wait, the homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/Neil and Kristen Baker, and then it's the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. So, yes, indeed, it is the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, and you can find our links, I believe, that way. Okay. There are little items on the side whereby you can follow us. All right.
Well, no, we're not going to discuss that.
We are discussing it. I mean, we're discussing it right now.
We can say all kinds of things about it. I mean, he denied the virus, but the virus didn't deny him. You know, the virus is much more accepting of all people than Trump seems to be, because the virus is now...
Right, it does not discriminate.
Yeah.
The virus, whatever the virus is. The virus, as if there's only one virus now. We only have one virus.
Yeah.
COVID.
But now, you know,
absurd.
Trump somewhat denied it, and now the virus is saying, well, you're part of the team. We're accepting you into our world, and wake up. This is about our topic, about how we choose our partners, how we choose our teams in life, in real life. And, you know, do we consciously choose our partners out of immediate choice, physical, conscious choice? Are our partners arranged for us? And in fact, are our teams, our groups, our social gatherings arranged for us to some extent? I happen to be a believer that they are. When 10,000 people at a stadium and there's an energy field around any event that happens there, that's a group experience. That's a tribal experience, no matter what.
And then when you get into more dramatic events that happen in a group experience, then you definitely are in a deep trouble.
Well, the interesting thing about President Trump is that when we form our karmic groups, what he seems to do is he seems to bring people into his flock with great admiration and compliments, and then he rejects them and throws them out. So the group experience that he has cannot be denied, to the extent that he does eliminate or ostracize or banish, if you will, team members. The idea that when we're in a group, we're supposed to ideally keep a cohesive group. We are members of that group, unless some great negative act has occurred.
Right, but even in nature, if you look at animal groups, they're animals reject certain members of the group,
mm-hmm.
too. So that's, I mean, an instinctual thing, much less.
They may do it by scent. They may do it by disease.
The runt
yeah.
of the litter gets rejected. Or,
it's true.
You know.
The idea of the group is to survive.
And in fact, I just want to mention something real quick. We talked to a woman who runs the Voiceless Dogs of NASA Bahamas shelter over the weekend in attempts to find her dog. And she told us that actually the dogs, because we asked, the dogs form packs in the street. And she said a lot of the dogs that are in the shelter are the rejects, the ones that are ostracized. Anyway, just wanted to mention that.
Well,
in relation to our topic.
We do.
Our twin soul topic.
In society, obviously, we ostracize minorities, indigenous people, individuals that transgender.
Just people with disabilities. And people are ostracized for reasons that are really not so obvious. So there are more subtle reasons for ostracization.
What does this really mean? This means that as individuals, we have different levels of individual evolutionary karmic sophistication. Unsophisticated energies might tend to reject. More sophisticated energies might tend to accept. Now, if we get, you know, it's funny because if we get down to the Cro-Magnon man, the Neanderthal man.
Neanderthal?
The idea that they commingled was at one point in history true. There was a division of energy there. Also, it's interesting to note that the caveman brought in the dog. You're talking about dog. They brought in the dog and it was still savage to some extent, but they domesticated the wild dog. And there are rituals where they had pets and things like this. Well, what we're not talking about, that, although all those convoluted ideas, what we're talking about is how we specifically, ideally, create our groups. And when we do meet and bond together and form a union, whether it's between two people or four people or a group, the question is asked, was this designed by something greater? Or is it part of our individual conscious choice to make decisions within our lifetime, and it's up to us to do that according to any whim we may have or desire? I don't know if that can be proven, but we come from a world of psychic energy and not absolute design, because there's variations on the word absolute, but there is still the idea that there's got to be some organized energy field out there. I was just thinking about it yesterday. Why do we have five fingers? Why not three long fingers? What do we need five for? Why do we need five toes?
Because 10 is the completion number.
Yeah, but the idea that everything is formulated to a certain design. Now, obviously, it's not absolute because some people
are born
with
without
fingers on hand,
right?
Or they have club feet, or stubby and appendages. Yeah. So, but what we get into is, what is this idea of a union all about, and how do we unionize ourselves not only with fellow human beings, animals, but how do we unionize ourselves now into something more complicated, such as ideas? We're not a uniformed energy of a species that has uniform ideas. Republicans, Democrats, socialists, communists. There's even in the political field, baseball teams, football teams, that rivalry. Even to the extent that we can't even say that our twin souls totally matches. They don't. There's a theory that there must be some sort of opposition to what is identically defined as a true you.
Obviously, and I mean, because we're on a planet that is built on the basis of duality. So how can there be exact replicas of two people? It's impossible. I mean, even if there's twins, and we're talking about twins, identical twins, much less twin souls, they're not identical.
No.
In all ways.
Life is about splitting apart. That's how life begins. It multiplies, splits apart. But in that splitting apart, there's a certain DNA that's released. So according to certain DNA factors for different species, when that splitting apart occurs at the molecule and cells and such things, then there is this building of a replica of energy to where we reproduce a likeness, maybe not totally identical, because there are variations within that likeness, but certainly there is still the idea that we reproduce according to likeness. But again, what's fascinating about this discussion, I think, is that there is this variation, which leads itself to questions about life, about existence, about the origin of existence, about the origin of the soul, certain fact. We cannot say that anything is absolute. I mean, maybe we can make certain statements. Water, H2O. We can make certain statements. Again, not all water is the same. There's components of different kinds of water, spring water, tap water.
Right. I mean, if you go from city to city, if you analyze the water in each city, there's going to be different chemicals in the water.
Yeah. So in the idea that we have to arrange our brains to think that, one, of course, nothing is permanent, including ideas. They evolve, they change. And we change as a species. I mean, 100 years ago, if you lived to be 60, you were old. I remember, when my grandfather turned 60, he was ancient. I'm a decade, almost a decade past that. The idea that it's relative. The idea that we cannot really say verbatim that we belong to a strict, rigid order of life that is predestined. Because as soon as there's a false note in that, the theory is broken. Not everything is predestined, and not everything is ordained by absolute design. But still, when we get into this idea of, when you think about it, listeners, when you think about the groups you have, the people you've known, how those groups have changed and evolved over time, who have you kept as friends? Who have become enemies? Who have you kept as soulmates? Who have you divided from? These are aspects of some discussion that can include the idea of what is destiny, what is design, and what is choice. And, back in the biblical text, we were able to have a choice. It doesn't matter that we maybe made the wrong choice, because what it set up is the idea that our choices can be wrong, but we're allowed to make them. Now, we may have consequences. The guy that runs the red light because no one's around and gets away with it, as opposed to the guy that runs the red light and is stopped by a cop.
Or the guy that runs the red light and causes a collision resulting in major fatality.
Another guy runs the red light and gets to the hospital on time and saves a life. Look at this variation that in breaking a concept, in breaking a law, there's even a division of outcome, of inclusion. And sometimes laws have to be broken.
Well, yeah,
it's
and
in our society right
and
now.
And not only that, but the, I mean, of course, there's variation in the conclusion because there's interpretation in the law. I mean, there's the way one judge is going to interpret the law is different than another judge interpreting the law. I know that for and talking to attorneys, for example, you're going to get different answers from different attorneys when asking the same question about laws. That should be, you would think there would be some uniformity to those laws.
Well, I mean, look at the concept of our Constitution, how it's made errors. All men are created equal. What? Number one, that's a ridiculous comment because it's not true, even though a law was said. And where's the
woman? Woman, yeah.
So all men are created equal. I mean, the way that we have discriminated and put down the woman energy is incredibly false. And the way that we have looked at a law and broken it is incredibly criminal. It goes against the concept. But it started off equalizing one form of human life from another. I mean, the equality of that men, all men are created equal, is a falsehood from the beginning because it doesn't include when the law was set to create it equal. Why didn't they say that? So there's this, and now with the, you know, with the Supreme Court and the potential Supreme Court justice that's being nominated. She used to belong to a group that, and her family belonged to a group that believed that men ruled everything and that women were subservient.
I'm sorry, what did you repeat what you just said? My mind
this,
was...
The new candidate.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No, Amy Coney Barrett.
Amy Coney Barrett. Her family belonged to a group, I forget the name of the group, but they believed that they had a traditional belief that the household was ruled by
man. Oh, they're a conservative. It's a conservative Catholic group, like
yes.
Ultra conservative. Now, most Catholics are not don't live by that standard at all.
They don't.
But she's, I mean, she's a super conservative
about
Catholic
her background.
Well, and I just want to point out Biden's Catholic as well. So he's pro-life. I mean, pro-choice rather.
Yeah.
So Catholics can be pro-choice. Even though the church, the Vatican, does not support abortion, they're pro-life.
Well, let's not make,
anyway, but
right.
We're not making it.
Well,
we're not making
just
it
religion.
An issue.
There's variations.
There's exactly. There's variations, but she's extremely conservative. But she's being called out as being, you know, her Catholicism is being attacked.
Now, her mind. She says, you know, I my personal beliefs do not get mixed up into my political, my professional beliefs as a potential Supreme Court. Judge, or as a judge per se, but how do you separate that? Because as soon as she says, "Well, I don't believe in abortion," and so does this mean now that if she votes against Roe versus Wade, that she believes in the equality of life? Well, the whole idea is about pro-life. So you don't do, she could argue it could be, well, I don't believe in destroying life.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with a woman's right. You don't kill.
But I just have to interject there because if she doesn't believe in abortion, that is a personal belief. However, she has to think more broadly about the topic because if Roe versus Wade was to be overturned, what's going to happen is women are going to die. Women will die from back alley abortion. So you have to weigh what the greater loss is. Is it the fetuses that die during abortion that you consider to be, you know, a full-fledged form of human life? Or is it the woman that will die?
Okay, so here's where we get into the idea that you set a law. It's up to personal choice as to what you do. So if her, let's just say, for instance, that her beliefs is the right to life, she's pro-life, but now she sets a standard where potentially she could be destroying life. One argument could be based in, I believe in pro-life, but everyone gets to make a choice. That's not my responsibility. So my personal beliefs is in pro-life, but but I also believe in pro-choice to the extent that people are allowed to make choices. Let's face it, whether it's Judaism, Catholicism, whether you're a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever it may be, we get to the idea of either God or the Supreme Being or the unity of life, whatever it may be, that in all religions, choices are made. There are laws, then there are choices. And within any law is a choice. That's why we have the scales of justice. You know, that's why we have determining factors in juries. How do we evaluate a motive or a situation? How do we make exceptions? Even in biblical text, God, him herself, made an exception. Now, look at it this way. I could be amiss in calling God herself when I'm trying to be ethically correct by saying him herself. But according to the Bible, I'm supposed to say himself. But now the situation has changed. That's discrimination. So we can't even, our language has now become restricted. Because if we say it, the N-word, under any context, we're condemned. But the N-word has been used throughout. What are we supposed to do now? Like you said, because the N-word is no longer permitted, do we start throwing, burning books that have it?
Well, then, you know, we can't say, and we can't say, then we shouldn't say the word cracker either, because that's a derogatory term toward whites. So let's eliminate all crackers. We have to rename the food. Right. I mean, that's the same premise. Obviously, the history of the word cracker doesn't have the same connotations as the other word, and I can understand the sensitivity around it, absolutely. And I certainly don't condone the use of that word, but to destroy history and literature in response to it is not the answer.
We really neglect what the word stereotyping is. Stereotyping is two-way. Stereo is a two-sound system.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
and then
when we
typing.
Take stereotyping, we're taking an original form, and then we get these, we redefine it with a crude word. Every ethnic group can be like a Jew, a Japanese, a German. They all have their immediate co-stereotyping words that are derogatory. When we get into this idea, we can't seem to get away with a uniformity of thought. We can't just say human beings. Our brains can't do it. Exceptions, and there are great human beings that have lived by those exceptions and have dignified the language and their behavior with the uniformity of the idea that all human beings are created equal. But in essence, we cannot adjust to the fact that there is uniformity in the world. We're all in this together. Well, we're not that idealistically, but don't say that we're all in this together. Open up your eyes. We're not all in this
but
together.
But that has been a running message for the past, I guess, how many months? 8 months with COVID, and it's been this, I mean, kind of mantra that's been brainwashed into our, you know, it's attempted to brainwash people into thinking we're all one and that we need to comply and be one. Well, that's part of what's happening in the world right now.
You know, because I'm so inclined to look at linguistics and language, I've often been
often.
Yeah.
No, we need
I like
start
to
using a British accent.
Well, I thought I was doing German.
I don't know. No,
but you know, when we look at let's look at the word Black Lives Matter. Now, are Black Lives adjectives to the word matter, which is a noun?
Noun.
Or is matter the verb?
Right.
It doesn't matter because when you look at the sentence, you know, it's like looking at a picture where you see two different things. Do you see a fox or do you see a human face? but they're actually both there. And then you train your eye to kind of simultaneously see both at the same time. I love those exercises.
I do too.
But when we look at Black Lives Matter, so think about it. Okay, so let's look at Black Lives as an adjective. Black Lives Matter. Matter is the essence of life. So if you look at it, Black Lives Matter, what it really means is that in the form matter, there are Black lives. Black lives matter. That's giving essence to Black, to the essence of being Black. Black
substance
lives matter.
Substance,
it's a beautiful concept when you look at it as an adjective. When you look at it as a verb, it sounds absurd. Of course, Black lives matter. But I tend to look at that phrase as more as matter being a noun. Because then I find a fascination in the concept that there's a different essence to the experience of being Black. Not that they matter. Who cares if they matter or not? All lives matter. But Black lives matter, to me, brings into organization of history, of evolution, of the whole concept of what it is to consciously, socially, religiously, spiritually be Black in our world. But Black Lives Matter, to me, it's like, yeah, okay. It doesn't complete the thought
right.
In a way that, to me, captures the whole essence of being Black.
I understand that. But in regard to Black Lives Matter, it's more than just a slogan. It's a whole movement. It's a whole movement.
Right. So now we get into the slogans of movements. So we come now into the word slogan. We come into the word movement and slogan. Movement doesn't necessarily mean that a movement is something that moves.
Right.
It's the process of moving. What we've conceptualized
it's a noun.
Political or whatever. It's a movement. But you see how the words get twisted? I mean, pure educated linguistics go crazy with language because they take language in a classical sense, and when they hear it being spoken in a disrupted or corrupted manner, no matter how popularized it is or how metaphorically inclined it may be, they tend to get crazy. I know I do, because when I listen to language distinctly, and I don't profess to be a great professor of language, but I have some aptitude towards it, I go crazy when I hear language being spoken. There are great Norms Crosby and George Carlin talked about the 10 difficult words. When people listen to language, Groucho Marx was a great satirist about language. When he would hear a word, he would confuse it with something in terms of comedy or something obscene. I mean, the language is a beautiful thing. And how we work with it, like it's a flexible thing that we can mold into whatever we want. But now when we get into the concept of language pertaining to human existence, that's a whole different concept of what language implies and how it can damage or define our species. So when we get now into the idea of the organization of human thought, including the idea of the organization of human beings per se as a unity, then we get into a little bit of a more coarse and maybe convoluted discussion, because we really can't quite define what it is to be a human being or what it is to be in a union. And we know, you know, the union movement, the labor movement, the union is a contrast to the industrialist or the controlling factor. Here, the union, the word union is almost an oxymoron. There's no union per se, union station, you know. When you get into the idea, you conceptualize that there is a union, but there really isn't a union per se. There really isn't in terms of its purest form. So now we get back to the idea of, you know, what is the union of our concept of, for instance, twin souls or soulmates, or what is the difference between a twin soul and twin souls and soulmates? We've kind of crudely discussed it as what? Soulmates, what is
soulmates,
the difference?
Well, soulmate is a karmic relationship, and generally a soulmate relationship will have a history in the astral plane of the souls being in that realm and contacting each other, and there's some interaction on a plane that's not the earth plane prior to coming into the earth. But a twin soul union is derived from a soul splitting in the astral realm. What's wrong with me? So the soul at one time in a twin soul union was one. It was whole. And when the soul splits, the souls come down to earth and go through the various incarnations throughout life and, you know, until the ultimate final existence when they are able to unionize on the earth plane as much as possible and then transcend together into the astral plane and unionize in its truest form.
And you know, we're talking in abstract concepts, which are really frivolous because there's no way to prove it. So it's just in the realm of fairy tale, really. But,
and the twin soul concept has been totally misconstrued, because what defines a twin soul concept, if you look online and research, generally it is it's reflected as a disunion because of differences, which is absolutely untrue. It's totally, totally wrong.
You know, it's interesting when you look at division, somewhere deep in the New Testament, there's a war in heaven. How can there be a war in heaven? How does that happen? So this, when we
right, because
one of the,
if heaven's supposed to be,
how can it come about? Well, you know, the evangelists and the priests and the pastors and religious thinkers will say, well, you see, God created that, or the devil, whatever. They'll try to conceptualize and take away from the absolute notion that God cannot be defined as having flaws. But indeed, even in God's kingdom, not describing the earth kingdom, but the heavenly realm. Now, some of you say, but he had a plan, because he had to banish the serpent, the Satan, Lucifer at that point, Lucifer, the angel of light, his favorite angel. He banishes from heaven, throws him on the earth to promote this whole journey of the human division from God. Now, the absolute theologians will say, well, that was in God's plan. But why, if God's absolute, why is it in his plan to create division? We're even looking at, now we come down to the earth, we're even looking at the idea of Biden saying unity and democracy.
Which, by the way.
And Trump saying, and commentators saying Trump represents division and conflict. So we have this whole idea in metaphorical thought that if we just look briefly at Biden and Trump, we're looking at the division between God and mind.
Right. I just want to let you know, I just got a news alert that Biden and his wife have tested negative for COVID.
There you go.
Yes.
So positive and negative. This time, I can't believe it. Trump's the positive one, and Biden is totally negative.
I know, we were shocked last night when I found that. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, yeah, there's got to be absurdity. Thank God for the existentialists. As much as I believe in a concept of God,
but anyway, when we talk about absolute, heaven is supposed to be this absolute realm of paradise. So how can there be a war in heaven if it's absolute paradise?
I've always mistrusted heaven because it has the word heave in it. That doesn't work with me. But And then the last remaining word is my initial. It just doesn't.
Heave, Neil.
It doesn't. And when you say the word heave, you're either lifting something or throwing up.
Throwing up is where my mind went.
I don't know. It's even when people call us on our show and ask us to answer a question, we have to go into a place where, is there an absolute answer? Or even being inclined to be psychic, is there not an absolute answer, but there is an approach to an answer? It's conditional now. So
well, then
now
you get
the word conditional and unconditional.
Right, but you also get into the idea of people and their choices and the groups that they form and whether it's destiny that people are in certain unions with others or whether it's personal choice, creative destiny. We're back to the premise of the
conversation. Well, even that's an oxymoron. I mean, if destiny is destiny, it doesn't need to be creative. But
right.
When you imply creative destiny, that means that you're in charge.
Charge, right.
That brings in existentialism,
obviously.
Because we are in charge.
Excuse me.
If the pure existentialists, Kierkegaard and people like this, had still some concept of God within the notion. But when God was declared dead, Nietzscheism and all this kind of thing, and Camus and people that it didn't include God in the universe saying, hey, listen, there's nothing out there. It's not even an indifferent universe, because that's an oxymoron. There is nothing there. It is up
to us
to find meaning.
How about taking apart oxymoron?
Yeah. Well, how dare you call my oxymoron?
Hold on. We have Jennifer on the line. Hi.
Hi. Do you really think that he has COVID or if it's just a ruse?
I don't know, actually.
Who?
Trump. I don't know.
What do you mean? You think he's making it up?
I don't know what I think yet.
Get out of this debate?
I don't know what I think yet. Well, I mean, the thing is about the getting out of the debate is that Democrats have urged Biden not to participate in the debates because of the debacle that occurred on Tuesday. And, in some ways, I agree. Unless the powers that be were able to contain Trump and apply rules that didn't allow him to display that type of behavior in another form.
Looking at this, Jennifer, I can't see the advantage for him having a COVID-19 falsely stated, because it's putting him in a weaker position. It's now hit with the truth and reality. It's showing that he's vulnerable and weak. And that as much as he's proclaimed Biden, can you imagine if Biden had it, what Trump would be saying?
Yeah, it's true.
So
but
is it really to his advantage? It would be more to his advantage to say, look, I don't have it. I'm a strong man. I can do this. Now they're saying he sounds hoarse and tired and he's coughing. I mean, this is not to his advantage. I mean, I don't want Superman to come to the planet with his arm in a sling. It doesn't look good.
Okay. However, if he says it's nothing and he has it and proves that, it didn't really do anything to him, he was right.
Wait, say that again because I'm lost.
Okay. He said it's nothing but a flu. Blah, 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 blah. And so he gets it, and his wife, who probably never touches him, conveniently gets it.
well,
he survives it with no real, side effects. He looked fine the other night, so he didn't look sick. Then it proves that he was right all along, that's really nothing.
That is really nothing. I see your point. And wait. They were all on a plane together with an advisor or someone on the team. So whether or not Melania and Trump touch each other, which they probably don't, they still were in a very contained atmosphere with another person that tested positive. So, well, I mean, well,
but
I don't know.
But the flaw to that argument, Jennifer, is that just because there's a lot of people who get it and get over it. But if you're going to deny the people that have died, and if Trump's going to say, well, look, I've got it and I'm okay, then what he's doing is he's in total denial for those people who have been fallen from this and died and have massive destruction in family structures. So it doesn't, for him to be that aloof is only encouraging the idea that he's separate from the rest of the world. What he should be saying, having this, is I embrace the idea now. I've changed my mind about it.
Well, that's not going to happen.
See, but if he was smart, that's what he would do. But if you're suggesting that he can boast about it and say, well, look, it didn't hurt me, I mean, that's not, there are going to be so many people who are going to be angered with him, thinking that he's an elitist and that he doesn't understand and grasp the concept or the fact that so many people have died from this disease. You see, so I don't know if that works, that thought.
I just, you know, right now I feel like it's too early to know how this is going to play out. I mean, I texted a couple of people about this last night, and they actually expressed the same sentiments that you did about what's going on. One said, I think this is fake. And the other said, this is going to be used to his advantage. Now, I didn't necessarily agree. However, because I'm trying to remain open to see what happens, but I think it's going to be interesting how this progresses. And when's the next debate? Because if he's quarantined, I believe it's the 15th, isn't it? The next debate is the 15th of October. So 15th, he would be still under quarantine because today's the 2nd, right? Or is he quarantined from the 1st to the 14th? Or would he be quarantined from the 2nd to the 16th?
From the day he was diagnosed.
So yesterday, but it was late yesterday. So he's probably not going to be able to make the debate as it's scheduled now. I mean, they may reschedule. But anyway, Jennifer, go ahead.
Those were the questions that I had. And I really do think that if he really does have it, and I don't know, and it's fine, and it really doesn't have any side effects or problems with it, that's how he's going to spin it. But it doesn't matter. You think that the people that vote for him will say, well, wait a minute, he's dismissing all these people that did get sick, and that's rude. He made fun of a handicapped reporter, and they still vote for him. Love him.
I know. I know. And I mean, his staunch supporters are going to continue to support him. There are people that are undecided because that supported him in the last election. So it just depends on those people. I mean, right now he's not doing well in the polls at all.
Yeah.
Maybe he's looking for an excuse for when he does lose. Who knows? Well, I couldn't campaign, blah, 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 blah.
You see, the argument too, Jennifer, is that if Biden got it, Trump would be all over it.
See, I wonder if he's going to try, actually, I just thought of this, if he's going to use this to try to delay the election, which I don't, you know, he may
he
try.
I
know
election.
He can't, but he doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him what rules exist.
Ideas.
His ideas, yeah. He may say, well, this isn't fair. I've been sick and not able to participate. So we have to delay the election. It could be a reason to create more chaos in the process. So,
well, you know,
I don't know.
You know, when you're desperate, you seek absurd strategy. And you go about, you know, it's like Hannibal and the elephants. You're trying to figure out a way to defeat the enemy, traveling over the Alps or something. His idea to create theater is, we cannot not underestimate
right.
his choice of theater. But the strategy that has the end result hasn't particularly been working for him, because there are facts and figures that command the presence over his own rhetoric. And that is outstanding. He can rest on some laurels. He's accomplished some things for his party And he's done some things that he's promised to do. And all of his boasting and theatrics are, for some people, just performance. They look at what he's really done. And he has done some things that have been constructive. But on the other hand, there isn't the idea, let's make America great again, is not right now the universal concept that we all can figure out has been conclusively derived, that he's made this possible. So that hasn't happened. And there are fears about what his next term could result in. So it's going to be a battle. And there's all kinds of things that are going on that are confronting this. But by the grace of God, we pray that democracy in its purest form overrules all of this nonsense that's been going on and strategies so that we can actually get to some basis of and foundation of what balances our country in a way to where we can have opposite ideas but not be destroyed by them.
Well, I mean, you know, I just want to respond to that. Democrats and Republicans, as I've read and agree with this concept, are two wings of the same bird. Now, I think Biden is a much better choice because we're going to have more protection for the environment, more benefits for the people, that the citizens of the United States. But if we think that electing a Democrat means we have democracy in its truest form, I think that is a falsehood. I don't think that's true at all. And, you know, I think the way this COVID has been spun in the last several months is a manipulation of the people. I don't know if you're aware, Jennifer, we've talked about it on the show many months ago, but a papaya tested positive. I think, I can't remember what country it was. And they kicked the World Health Organization out of the country because of these tests. And there have been many reports of tests coming back as positive when they haven't even been used on humans. So the testing process is flawed if these things are happening. So what is COVID? I mean, you know, getting into all these ideas of what's really happening with this virus and what the purpose of this virus is. Coronavirus is actually a common cold as well. So do people test positive for coronavirus that have had the common cold? I mean, I'm no medical expert, but I think these are important questions.
Absolutely. You're right. There are way too many question marks about everything. And people here in Canada are, and we don't have, you know, huge numbers or anything like that, but we're scratching our heads going, okay, we're having a second wave, but we never had a first wave. So we don't understand. And now toilet paper's flying off the shelves, and believe it or not, here.
Really?
Because they're talking about this second wave when we never had a first wave. So I don't exactly... I'm not understanding the whole point of what's going on. I guess that's my bottom line, is I don't get it.
Well, there's an agenda of control, and there's an agenda of conformity. We are all one, and we're all wearing these masks, and we're being lined up in stores and in retail establishments and banks, and, you know, forced to be 6 feet apart, and the kids that are in school are separated there's pictures of children in Texas in cafeteria where they're like completely separated. They're not able to even interact with one another. And this is, I mean, the children are being indoctrinated at a very young age that this is normal. It's brainwashing.
You know,
I agree.
And then we get into the idea, we go deeper and we get into the idea of the apocalypse and the end times biblical predictions being raised. Personally speaking, I have trepidation too about what's going on and what it means.
The transhumanist agenda too. I mean,
so it, we're you know, the word chaos is paramount. We're in a very chaotic period of time, and it's gripped our world. It's just not exclusive to the United States. We're under great threat, not to mention the immediate threats that have been pushed to the sidelines of the headlines, you know, North Korea and the Middle East.
Exactly. I mean, and we're thinking, I mean, coronavirus is the top. I mean, that's what everybody's focused on, and all these other things are going on that people aren't even paying attention to.
Yeah. Climate change. I mean, wow. When you look, when you read Revelation,
climate manipulation,
four horsemen,
climate manipulation,
you start to wonder what horse is being rushed out of the
gate.
Gate right now, and what does this really mean to our world?
And look at
and
the
what's coming up.
Not only that, but I mean, what's happening in terms of the fires? I mean, you mentioned climate change, but climate change, I think, is also not only created by just human existence. I think there is climate change that is forced upon us by manipulation of the climate, chemtrails and all that. And now we have these fires, and people think these, I mean, you have houses that are burning down in mass amounts, and then there's garbage cans, plastic garbage cans right next to the house that aren't touched. So people are talking about the fact that these fires are being caused by direct energy weapons. You can read more about that online, but anyway.
Well, what do you think, Jennifer? What do you think is going on?
I think you're right. I think there's, it seems like a major distraction from something. There's, I feel like as an empath, I'm feeling a lot of undercurrents going on at the same time, a lot of different agendas.
Yeah.
But what I do want to say that what Trump has done well that has been overlooked in previous years is there have been these roundups of these child predators and human trafficking people, which has been awesome. And you haven't really seen that in prior years. There seems to be a bigger agenda, not a slap on the wrist for pedophiles, which is comforting. I like when certain things go right. So
I
like to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
However, you know what I want to say about that? People, the right is talking about how the left has not been hard on pedophiles and that they're involved in, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and all the people that visited Jeffrey Epstein's island. You look at the flight logs and people were there that are Democrats and all this. However, Trump, I mean, there's so many photos of him and his daughter in when she was very young, in questionable positions, her on his lap. Additionally, he's been accused of raping women, young women.
His language has been off key, you know,
towards women. So he's no saint. So there may be more of an effort. I don't know why. I don't know what the motivation would be. Sorry, there's a mosquito. I don't know why there would be more of a roundup of people that are pedophiles under his watch, given that he is hasn't been morally upstanding.
Record.
He does not have a clean record,
but
right?
We get your point. We're not denying things he's done by any means, but we are in a very controversial time right now, and you know, we're just praying.
Or is it controversial?
Well,
potato, potato.
Yeah, let's keep people out of it. But we thank you for calling, Jennifer.
Oh, sure. Thank you for taking my call. Have a good
I don't think we've really gave an answer, but it's an interesting discussion nonetheless. Bye. Okay, we are actually out of time, and we're back on the air next week on Tuesday and Thursday, right? Or is that what we're doing next week?
Tuesday and Thursday of next week. I don't know. Is that what we're doing?
We have on Wednesday, the 7th.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we're doing Tuesday, Thursday, and stay tuned to our schedule on our Blog Talk Radio profile in case there's another change that is unforeseen and we have to change those days. Have a great weekend.